Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Senate rejected Republican efforts today to repeal the estate tax. Republicans pledged not to give up the fight. Senators voted 57 to 41 to limit debate and proceed toward a vote on repeal. Those opposed to the bill said it would deliver an unwise tax cut when the government needed more money to balance the budget and wage war. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said the bill has nothing to do with the average American. It's about the wealthiest people in America, quote, flexing their muscles and pushing through on Capitol Hill what he called the most outrageous piece of special interest legislation in modern memory. The Bush administration today expressing caution following Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's death. At the White House, they say they're pleased the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader is dead. White House spokesman Tony Snow calls it a sign the Iraqis are saying they've had it with troublemakers. But while he says Zarqawi's death is positive, Snow is cautioning against people getting what he called giddy or euphoric. Snow said there's still a war on and there will be tough days ahead. Earlier, George Bush hailed Zarqawi's death, but warned insurgent rebels would probably carry on without him. According to members of Hamas and Palestinian hospital officials, an Israeli airstrike killed the top Hamas enforcer in the Gaza Strip. Israel had accused the leader of a militant faction of rocket attacks on Israel and of the fatal 2003 bombing of a U.S. convoy in Gaza. He had been number two on Israel's wanted list and reportedly had tried to avoid detection by switching cars and hideouts. The president of Iran says he is ready to discuss what he called mutual concerns, but he refuses to first suspend uranium enrichment. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad saying Iran will never give up its right to produce nuclear fuel. But he says he's all for talks to resolve misunderstandings in the international arena. Ahmadinejad says if negotiations take place, they should be held in a fair atmosphere based on equality. Iran has not yet given an official reaction to the incentives package offered by Western nations to suspend uranium enrichment. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the first vaccine to protect against most cervical cancer. Gardasil approved for use in girls and women from age 9 to 26, Merck and Company saying. The vaccine prevents infection by four strains of the virus, some of them linked to about 70% of cervical cancer cases. The three-shot series estimated to cost $300 to $500. This is Air America Radio News.
can expect the terrorists and insurgents to carry on without him. We can expect the sectarian violence to continue.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. We are live on Air America. This is the Malloy Program. Let's see how long we can stay on the air tonight before all the mechanical stuff goes straight to hell. I have to apologize for the past couple of nights. I have not been out sick. I really haven't. A lot of people have sent emails and said, well, hope you get well. I had a big-ass dental appointment on Tuesday, that, and Kathy put something on our website about I was going to spend the night home drinking virgin blood in celebration, or bathing in virgin blood in celebration of Ann Coulter's new book. And then she said, Mike is ill, and then she put in parentheses, seriously. And it's like everybody went, oh, my God, no. I had some intense dental work done. I was too sore to talk. And then last night we came in ready to go to work and mechanical screw-ups. And we're not sure if we're stabilized tonight. We'll try. Tonight we're going to be joined for just a couple of minutes by Greg Palast. As you know, who Greg is, I'm sure you do. Anyway, he has a new book out called Armed Madhouse, and he'll be calling us from Seattle. We're going to talk just for a second, probably about what happened this morning, I believe. I think he's there. Let's go right to Greg now. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, now that you got that you've removed Ann's fangs there. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So we got Zarqawi, man.
Yeah. Sure,
we got him.
Wait, we did. Isn't that wonderful?
Here's the question. Michael, first of all, I have two questions as a investigative reporter. Question one, what was Ann Coulter's number doing in his pocket?
Good question.
Okay, no one's answering that question.
No one is.
Made that up. The other question, though, is who invited Zarqawi into Iraq? How did he get
there? Let me think. How long do I have to answer that second one?
Chapter two. We're gonna take notes. Anyway, Our Madhouse, the second chapter. We'll have more time to talk, I think, in a week or so.
We will indeed. I've read the first couple, three chapters. I'm flying to Seattle tomorrow evening, and I will be reading it on the flight. So far, it's the best book you've written.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a tough thing to say. I mean, then we better not give our locations.
Right. Well,
this is investigative reporting, which I do from England as a BBC reporter, because it's illegal under Patriot Act 3 investigative reporting. But anyway, what happened, just one part that I thought was very important that people should hear tonight, while there's this kind of, a little hoopla cowboy dance that's going on. We got
right.
it, Okay, April 27th, 2003. General Jay Garner gets a call. He's in Baghdad. He's in Saddam's old bedroom. He's now the new Pasha we've put in charge of Iraq. George Bush has sent him in to establish democracy. The country, by the way, is quiet, is peaceful. And Garner told me later privately, he said he thought he knew he had 90 days to get this place together, which he had done in the northern sector of Iraq, running the place there. Okay?
Right.
Now, he gets a call at midnight from a guy named Rumsfeld, who says to Garner, General Garner, don't unpack, Jack, you're fired. And now what had happened? See, Garner actually thought that when the president said democracy, he meant something about elections, and when he talked about Iraq being free and in charge of its own destiny, he thought that included the oil, Garner. And, see, there's something called the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. And the economy plan. It's 101 pages long. I showed it to Garner. It's supposed to be confidential. I got my hands on it. How I got it doesn't matter. I got it. I showed it to the general. I said, "You recognize this?" He said, "Sure do." I said, "This plan, they were going to impose this on the Iraqis?" "Yeah." Page 73, what does it say on page 73? It says that we're going to sell off all the state assets, especially the oil. We're going to sell off Iraq's oil. And I said, "But why didn't you do that?" He said, "It's their oil."
Yeah. Oh,
That was a mistake.
Yes,
it's
it was.
It's their oil. No, he didn't understand. It's our oil. It happens to be in Iraq. But
Right. It's still our oil.
Anyway, and he called for elections within 90 days. He had what he called a big tent meeting. He said he had the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Kurds all lined up. They'd cut a deal. They're ready to divide the assets of the country, you know, come up with a deal like he had worked in the northern zone. Everything was ready to roll. Elections, American troops would be pulled back out of the cities into the desert. As he said, it's their country, it's their oil, and he was told that's not the plan. And he wouldn't. And he told Rumsfeld, "I ain't taking the plan because if we try to impose the plan, if we go for their oil, if we go for their assets,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to have." In his polite way, he said, "That's a fight we don't want to take on."
That's right.
They will fight. And so the first thing is he gets yanked, and they put in a guy. Now, Garner had been in Iraq 4 years, knew the people, they knew him. They put in a guy who hadn't even flown over Baghdad before, named Paul Jerry Bremer III,
uh-huh.
whose total qualifications for the job were that he was managing director of Kissinger Associates. He comes in, and he does something called de-Baathification, which in effect meant kicking out all the Sunnis.
Right.
Then he shut down the mullah's paper, the Shiite center in Najaf. So now he's peeved the Sunnis. He's pissed off the Shiites. He's got them all shook up, right?
Right.
So now the insurgency is starting. And then the word gets out that we're going to take the oil fields. And I talked to one of the Iraqis who was working with the U.S. on planning the invasion. He was very much for it. He said as soon as the word got on the street, they were grabbing the oil. He said they're going to blow up the pipelines. You get rid of the Sunnis, he said, you're basically, he said, that was an invitation to Zarqawi to come in. You know, Zarqawi's line is that the Shiites were Shiite snakes, right?
Right.
So, in other words, we let loose the snakes. We got the snake charmer coming in. And basically, you can't have a war president without a war. Karl Rove said that the first Gulf War ended too soon. That's why George Bush I was defeated. That
right.
wasn't going to happen this time. Bring him on. You know, so they basically, Zarqawi was virtually invited in. They needed 270 days to do the asset change. You know, it's like, it's so deep, it's so nasty. So, and by the way, it's not like this was a big secret, the exposure, this plan. I put it on BBC television. It, you know, it's in our madhouse, but this was on the nightly news in Britain. You couldn't get it on the nightly news in the United States unless you took hostage, except on Air America. Thank you.
That's true. Well, you know, Washington Post, The Washington Post back in April talked about the creation of Zarqawi, not Zarqawi's flesh and blood, but the creation of him as Big Brother's Goldstein. Zarqawi is really and truly was nobody, but he was the focus of a psyops operation, a target against the United States and the people of Iraq. He would be the Al-Qaeda link. He would be the foreigner. He would be the boogeyman to the Americans. And by God, it's worked. I've got some quotes here I'm going to do a little bit later tonight, Greg, from generals in the United States military who understood what was going on and who congratulated themselves on the success of the psyops, the psychological operation to turn Zarqawi, a typical Middle East, whatever the hell he is, into this beast.
Right. You had a Jordanian schmuck, basically, who didn't know,
yes.
you know, who had no nothing behind
who,
him.
Who, like George Bush, likes to kill people.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a blood thing, and he really liked, and he went out, in particular, after Shiites, and it was very important. To basically, so that you ended up with Shiite shrines being blown up, and then of course the Shiites react by finding the closest Sunni guys, not Zarqawi, and pretty soon you know it's like West Side Story except highly armed, you know.
Oh, what a web these mortals weave, huh?
Yeah,
Jesus.
And so we, you
oh
know,
my God.
But they got what they needed. If you look in these plans, they needed the 270 days to do the deals that they did on the oil. And that's just chapter two, man.
Hey, I know. Hey, listen, Greg, we're going to talk.
Okay.
You're coming on what, in a couple of weeks?
Yep. Okay. By the way, www.gregpalace.com if you want to know where the Armed Madhouse tour is going to be dropping in on your door.
Sounds good.
Okay,
and
brother.
And it is a great book. I'm glad you wrote it. Everybody should read it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Greg.
Got you, brother. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Could we say we're only 25 years old? With 25 sweet summers and hot fires in the cold. This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable. We'd like to play hockey, have kids and grow old. Fighters protect.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on complete insect killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon complete insect killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
We've got a strategy, and I will keep talking about the strategy, and it'll yield to victories.
Twenty-one past the hour, right before the program, get this email from Jim Turr out in Santa Fe, BlueCanyonProductions.com. A fascist, a criminal, and a fundamentalist walk into a bar. The bartender says, "Hello, Mr. President." This Zarqawi thing, I'm going to talk about it a bit tonight, maybe from a different perspective. I don't know. At 8 o'clock this morning, Kathy, it was Kathy's turn to bring the coffee into the bedroom, and she comes in with the coffee, and she says, I was just on the Internet, and they got Zarqawi. And like I said on the blog, at my website and at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy, the picture of this dead guy has been seen probably by more people in 24 hours or 12 hours, whatever it's been, than the pictures of Stalin's corpse over a 50-year period. The photographs that I've seen of the dead guy and comparing them to the videotape of the guy who couldn't shoot his machine gun properly, remember those, is a clear indication to me that one of those photos is a fake, probably the guy firing the machine gun. But in my opinion, what has happened here is Zarqawi just was no longer useful. He was just no longer useful. So the Iranians hate him. The Iraqi Shias hate him. The CIA or the FBI or the Bush, somebody, the Bush crime family could no longer use him. So it was a concerted effort. It wasn't our intelligence that got him. You probably heard that. It was another Jordanian, somebody inside the Zarqawi organization. Boom, gone. Simon, who listens to the program in the UK, said the marriage distraction failed. The media narrative on Iraq is that of U.S. troops engaged in cold-blooded murder. And the canceling of the Nevada bomb test suggests the Iran plan may be in tatters. And now we learn that even the old man, Bush 1, has had enough, trying to get rid of Rumsfeld. Gonna need a pretty big distraction. Declare your boogeyman du jour to have been killed. Bingo! They killed off Goldstein today. Michael Berg, who is the father of Nicholas Berg. Nicholas Berg had his head cut off. We all know that because the videotape was out there for any sick son of a bitch who wanted to go look at it. But what about Nicholas Berg's father, Mike Berg, who is an anti-war activist now and running for Congress on the Green Party ticket? In Pennsylvania, is it Pennsylvania? He had some things to say. One of the statements he made today was just absolutely chilling. Every time I read it, I get freaked out completely. And I'll share with you here in a second. But Berg said today that he felt no sense of relief at the killing of Zarqawi and blamed Bush for his son's death. Asked what would give him satisfaction, Berg, who's the candidate for Congress on the Green Party ticket and an anti-war activist, said, quote, "the end of the war and getting rid of Bush." Berg was on a Fox News Network interview today, and he said, quote, "I don't think that Zarqawi is himself responsible for the killings of hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq. George Bush is. George Bush is the one that invaded that country. George Bush is the one that destabilized it so that Zarqawi could get in, so that Zarqawi had a need to get in to defend his region of the country from American invaders." Berg said Bush was to blame for the torture of Iraqi prisoners by U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib. He told his Fox interviews that his son was killed in retaliation for some of that torture. So, well, of course. You know, when did these people exist? Before this son of a bitch in the White House and this cadre of vampires around him decided to invade Iraq. When did these people exist? Hey, yo, let me ask you something. When did you ever hear of Zarqawi? Did you ever hear Zarqawi before we invaded Iraq? Berg said, Michael Berg said, quote, I have no sense of relief, just sadness that another human being had to die, end quote. Jesus, he's talking about Zarqawi. He said, I've learned to forgive a long time ago, and I regret mostly that will bring about another wave of revenge from Zarqawi's cohorts from Al-Qaeda. And then he said something. He said, and this is, oh, God. Berg said the blame for most deaths in Iraq should be placed on Bush, who he said is more of a terrorist than Zarqawi. And here he comes. He said, quote, Zarqawi felt my son's breath on his hand as he held the knife against his throat. Zarqawi had to look in his eyes when he did it. Berg paused, trying to collect himself, and then he said, George Bush sits there glassy-eyed in his office with pieces of paper and condemns people to death. That, to me, is a real terrorist.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Does your vacuum cleaner earn its keep? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL is so powerful it cleans the world's finest hotels, yet it uses 1/3 as much electricity as most other uprights. Try my Orrick XL risk-free, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Nobody works harder to give you more value for your money than I do.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe.
Because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose. Not to save the world. Just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. I can't get over that statement by Michael Berg, Nicholas Berg's father. Nicholas Berg, of course, the man who was beheaded allegedly by Zarqawi. And Michael Berg feels that George Bush, and of course I agree with this, is more of a terrorist than Zarqawi could ever be, could ever have been. And that statement from Michael Berg, he said, Zarqawi felt my son's breath on his hand as he held a knife against his throat. Zarqawi had to look in his eyes when he did it. George Bush sits there glassy-eyed in his office with pieces of paper and condemns people to death. That, to me, is a real terrorist. Oh, Jesus. It's just so sick. It's just so sick. I tried watching some television today until I realized what the entire day's broadcast day was going to be like on both cable and network broadcasting. Tried to do some internet research, and AOL has a picture of this corpse. Every place you look, pictures of this corpse. If you go to a website, strategypage.com, it's a military site, military hardware, strategypage.com, from yesterday, before Zarqawi was bombed. A writer there, Jim Dunnigan, has just very quick, a few sentences, and the headline is, Zarqawi scheduled for martyrdom. This is June 7th. You can see it. It says the relationship between terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and the mainline al-Qaeda leadership continues to deteriorate. Zarqawi's recent audio messages have not only attacked the U.S. and the Shia-dominated government in Iraq, but also Iran. He's even claiming that the U.S., Iran, and Shia in general are in cahoots to destroy Islam. He has also called for continued attacks against Shia. Except for his verbal attacks on the U.S. and the Iraqi government, he has almost totally distanced himself from the central leadership. Other al-Qaeda leaders have been trying to downplay anti-Iranian and anti-Shia rhetoric and have been strongly discouraging attacks on civilians. Given that Zarqawi has become a loose cannon and that his actions are handicapping al-Qaeda's efforts, it seems reasonable to expect that an accident may befall him at some point in the near future. If handled right, it can be made to look like he went out in a blaze of glory fighting American troops, or that he was foully murdered. Either way, al-Qaeda gets rid of a problem and gains another so-called martyr. Yikes. Within 24 hours of that being written, he's bombed. Now, you've heard this today. I heard it a bit on Randy's program. I heard it on Sam's program. Jim Mikliszewski, Pentagon correspondent for NBC News, over 2 years ago, had a report that Zarqawi, the Bush administration, had three chances to pull the trigger on this guy. Mikliszewski wrote at MSNBC.com, NBC News has learned that long before the war, the Bush administration had several chances to wipe out his terrorist operation and kill Zarqawi, but never pulled the trigger. In June 2002... U.S. officials say intelligence had revealed that Zarqawi and members of al-Qaeda had set up a weapons lab in northern Iraq, that would be in Kurdish territory, producing deadly ricin and cyanide. The Pentagon quickly drafted plans to attack the camp with cruise missiles and airstrikes and sent it to the White House, where, according to U.S. government sources, the plan was debated to death in the National Security Council. Michael O'Hanlon, military analyst with the Brookings Institute, said, quote, here we had targets, we had opportunities, we had a country willing to support casualties or risk casualties after 9/11, we still didn't do it, end quote. 4 months later, intelligence showed Zarqawi was planning to use ricin in terrorist attacks in Europe. Pentagon drew up a second strike plan, and the White House again killed it. By then, the administration had set its course for war with Iraq. According to terrorism expert and former National Security Council member Roger Cressy, quote, people were more obsessed with developing the coalition to overthrow Saddam than to execute the president's policy of preemption against terrorists, end quote. In January 2003, The threat turned real. Police in London arrested six terror suspects and discovered a ricin lab connected to the camp in Iraq. The Pentagon drew up still another attack plan, and for the third time, the National Security Council killed it. Military officials insist their case for attacking Zarqawi's operation was airtight, but the Bush administration feared destroying the terrorist camp in Iraq could undercut its case for war against Saddam. This son of a bitch! Here it is again. Here it is again. Bush's bloodlust and the insanity of the Project for the New American Century freaks. And these neocons, time after time after time. What they have done to us, what they have done to the Iraqis, what they've done to our military. These are war criminals. These are war criminals. Bush, Rumsfeld, Rice, Powell, Cheney. These are war criminals. Now it gets worse. April 10th this year, Washington Post. 2 months ago. It says, the U.S. military is conducting a propaganda campaign to magnify the role of the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, according to internal military documents and officers familiar with the program. They have overstated the importance of Zarqawi and helped the Bush administration tie the war to the organization responsible for the September 11th, 2001 attacks. For the past 2 years, U.S. military leaders have been using Iraqi media and other outlets in Baghdad to publicize Zarqawi's role in the insurgency. The documents explicitly list the, quote, U.S. home audience, close quote, as one of the targets of a broader propaganda campaign. Some senior intelligence officers believe Zarqawi's role may have been overemphasized by the propaganda campaign, which has included leaflets, radio and TV broadcasts, internet postings, and at least one leak to an American journalist. No surprise here at the New York Times. Although Zarqawi and other foreign insurgents in Iraq have conducted deadly bombing attacks, they remain, quote, a very small part of the actual numbers, close quote, according to Colonel Derek Harvey, who served as a military intelligence officer in Iraq and then was one of the top officers handling Iraq intelligence issues on the staff of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He told an Army meeting in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas last summer. In a transcript of the meeting, Colonel Harvey says, quote, our own focus on Zarqawi has enlarged his caricature, if you will, made him more important than he really is, end quote. He goes on to say, quote, the long-term threat is not Zarqawi or religious extremists, but these former regime types and their friends, close quote. Colonel Harvey, who did not return phone calls to the Washington Post seeking comment on his remarks. The military's propaganda program largely has been aimed at Iraqis, but seems to have spilled over into the U.S. media. One briefing slide, they had a slideshow, they had a PowerPoint, a setup on how they were jerking the minds of the Iraqis and the Americans around with the Zarqawi ass. One briefing slide about U.S., quote, strategic communications, close quote, in Iraq, prepared for Army General George Casey, the top commander in Iraq, describes the, quote, home audience, close quote, that's us, as one of six major targets of the American side of the war. Casey's subordinates, the slide created by Casey's subordinates does not specifically state that U.S. citizens were being targeted by the effort, but other sections of the briefings indicate that there were direct military efforts to use the U.S. media to affect views of the war. One slide in the same briefing, for example, noted that a, quote, selective leak, close quote, about Zarqawi was made to Dexter Filkins, a New York Times reporter based in Baghdad. Filkins' resulting article about a letter supposedly written by Zarqawi and boasting of suicide attacks in Iraq ran on the Times, excuse me, front page on February 9, 2004. Leaks to reporters from U.S. officials in Iraq are common, but official evidence of a propaganda operation using an American reporter is rare. Filkins, reached by email, said that he was not told at the time that there was a psychological operations campaign aimed at Zarqawi, but said he assumed that the military was releasing the letter, quote, because it had decided it was in its best interest to have it publicized, end quote. He said he was skeptical about the document's authenticity then and remains so now, and so at the time tried to confirm its authenticity with officials outside the U.S. military. Well, apparently he couldn't, and the Times ran it anyway. It is difficult to determine how... I'm quoting to you from the Washington Post 2 months ago. It's difficult to determine how much has been spent on the Zarqawi campaign, which began 2 years ago, and is believed to be ongoing. U.S. propaganda efforts in Iraq in 2004 cost $24 million. But that included extensive building of offices and residences for troops involved in the propaganda, as well as radio broadcasts and distribution of thousands of leaflets with Zarqawi's face on them. The Zarqawi campaign is discussed in several of the internal military documents. Quote, villainize Zarqawi, leverage xenophobia response, close quote. Oh, it just goes on and on. Oh, Jesus Christ Almighty. Do you realize how we are being played for suckers? Do you understand it? The truth was coming out. Washington Post, Rolling Stone, so they decided they had to murder him. Bingo.
Your one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his rich right hand.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
And something else. We're told that, what was it, 2 500-pound bombs were dropped. Did you see the video game that they showed us today? The first 500-pound bomb and the resulting massive explosion in this farmhouse where Zarqawi was staying. And then, just to be sure, they dropped a second 500-pound bomb. Did you see it? Did you see the video game? Huh? Okay, let me ask you something. The pictures of Zarqawi that were all over the internet today, does that look like the face of a corpse that has just been hit with 2 500-pound fragmentation bombs? Now, I was thinking about that today, and I get an email from Reg over at TVNewsLies.org, and she writes, a 500-pound bomb is used where maximum blast and explosive effects are desired. The thing fragments and explodes much like a grenade, but with far greater power. Did Zarqawi look as if he was killed by a powerful fragmentation bomb dropped on his bunker? His face was bruised and possibly lacerated, not unlike someone who had just emerged from a fight. It's so convenient that his face was totally salvaged so that it could be displayed to the world. I don't believe this story, Mike. I think he was killed by those who were in the hire of Bushko. It's another PR move, nothing more. Well, he was Noriega'd. Remember what happened to Manuel Noriega, right? Little rat bastard, drug smuggling, arms smuggling dictator of Panama that we put in. Remember? Oh, God. I know. This is rough. I'm going back 20 years, right? 15. Remember what we had to do to get rid of Noriega? Was it Noriega? Remember? We had to kill about 4,000 Panamanians. And you know where Noriega is now? He's in the federal detention center, I believe, in Miami, unless they've stuck him someplace else. What did Noriega do? He was about just ready to rat out Pappy Bush about Pappy Bush's involvement with drug smuggling into the United States to finance the war in Central America and yada, 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 yada. So what did they do? They, being Bush, the Bush crime family, it didn't just begin with this little half-wit in the White House now. Oh no. We sent the Marines into Panama. How many people did we kill in order to get Noriega? Where's Noriega? He's being kept very quiet. He may be dead. Who knows? Or maybe he'll emerge someplace. Zarqawi was Noriega'd. Boom. He was no longer useful. He no longer had value. And I'll tell you something else that was I'm not denying Zarqawi was a murderous son of a bitch. So's Bush. They're doppelgangers. What about Bin Laden? Do you really think Bin Laden's still alive? I don't know. Is he? What about Mullah Muhammad Omar? Remember those guys, huh? The ones that supposedly organized the attack on this country on September 11, 2001? I don't think much about him anymore. I don't care. Isn't that what Bush says? Jesus, God, the Total Information Awareness Network, the thing that was being set up by John Poindexter, remember, see how he's totally disappeared. A propaganda network that was going to infiltrate not just American media, but American consciousness. Look at what a job they've done. Look at what a job they've done. Zarqawi never existed. Not to the extent that they have him set up now. He was a low-grade terrorist or freedom fighter. Take your pick. I happen to think he was a psychotic killer just like Bush. But that's what we got today, huh? All over the media. Do this first. Can you do this first one of Bush? This is where he... He stands strong and tall and speaks very decisively about the death of Zarqawi. Again, this is the fourth time, of course, but here's Chuckle Nuts. Oh, here he is!
Last night in Iraq, United States military forces killed the terrorists, al-Zarqawi.
Yay!
6:15 Baghdad time, Special Operation Forces, acting on tips and intelligence from Iraqis, confirms Arkawi's location, and delivered justice to the most wanted terrorist in Iraq.
Hey, that's cool, that's cool. That means our troops can leave then, right? By the way, Chucklenuts, wait. Where's Osama? Chucklenuts, come back. I'm war president. One boogeyman down, endless war on terror continues. What a sweet deal for George. He gets to claim a major victory. And he gets to remind us Americans that the endless war will go on forever. It's a near trifecta.
Zarqawi is dead.
Yay!
But the difficult and necessary mission in Iraq continues.
Oh.
We can expect the terrorists and insurgents to carry on without him.
Oh.
We can expect the sectarian violence to continue.
Oh.
Yet the ideology of terror has lost one of its most visible and aggressive leaders.
Oh, you mean they got Rumsfeld, too? Jesus, I didn't hear anything about that, George. This little poser. I'm war president, like, you know, Churchill. He's war president, too. And FDR and, you know, people like that. I'm war president. We're fighting first war of the 21st century. I'm war president. This is astonishing what happens to us daily, isn't it? One thing after another. Zarqawi. Jesus. Stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Many of the voting and counting mishaps of the contested 2000 general election were still not fixed 4 years later, and some may still not be. Congressional investigators say that brand new problems arose in 2004's election, including fraudulent voter registration in some areas. A study of the 2004 election by the Government Accountability Office concludes many polling places struggled to manage heavy voting, and the report found new federal requirements for voter identification were applied unevenly by local officials around the country. George Bush says coalition troops dealt a severe blow to the al-Qaeda terrorist network with the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. In remarks at the White House, Bush congratulated the new Iraqi government and heaped praise on coalition and U.S. forces. Bush says with the death of Zarqawi, the ideology of terror has lost one of its visible and aggressive leaders, but he warned that rebel insurgents will likely carry on. The U.S. military says that intelligence agents pinpointed Zarqawi's location by following his spiritual advisor and deputy to a safe house in Iraq. Major General William Caldwell says the militant advisor was identified by someone inside the al-Zarqawi network. Caldwell says a painstaking intelligence effort wound up tracking al-Zarqawi's advisor to the meeting, and a decision was made to go ahead and strike the target to eliminate them both. Finding Osama bin Laden may be a lot harder to do. For one thing, bin Laden avoids satellite phones and the Internet, and he may be hiding in rugged, remote terrain protected by loyal tribesmen on the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. A retired Pakistani Army general says bin Laden is not involved in day-to-day operations, and he said he enjoys the support of much more loyal people than Zarqawi. A senior Pakistani security official says Pakistani forces and American-led coalition forces in Afghanistan are trying to get closer, but they don't really have a clue on his whereabouts. Dick Cheney told the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman today he's willing to work with Congress on new rules on the White House eavesdropping program, but Cheney did stop short of promising any action, responding to the letter from Senator Arlen Specter. Specter had complained Cheney was trying to meddle in the committee's actions regarding the review of the surveillance operations. Specter trying to force telephone company executives to testify about their role in the monitoring. That's not going to happen because they can't talk about secret work. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Earlier today, Reuters had a story saying that Iraqi ground forces, accompanied by U.S. helicopters, had attacked this farmhouse and captured Zarqawi. And subsequent to his capture, and he was turned over to Iraqis. We're not sure what happened subsequent to his capture. However, that story has now been removed from Reuters' web page. When you click on the link, the story it says, "I'm sorry, the story is no longer available." Helicopters and Iraqi soldiers. Well, the Iraqi soldiers part makes me wonder if the story is true, but because there is no such thing. But the video games that we saw today of U.S. jets dropping two 500-pound bombs that just flattened everything. There was nothing. I mean, it's incredible, wasn't it? Did you watch that video game? Boom! And then we see a picture of Zarqawi's corpse with some contusions on his face and some blood behind him. And, he's Goldstein. He's Superman. He survived two 500-pound bombs, direct hits on his house or where he was staying, and yet his corpse is totally intact. Christ. So Ward in Japan writes to me, he's quoting Global Research, and I saw this earlier today. Let's see. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the phantom terrorist with superhuman powers, was killed in the Sulaymaniyah Mountains of northern Iraq, and then he was killed in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul, followed by a death during Operation Matador near the town of Qaim on the Syrian border. And finally, he was killed along with his mentor, Osama bin Laden, in the besieged city of Fallujah. Now we were told he was killed by U.S. air raid north of Baghdad in the town of Habib near Baquba, according to Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. It's incredible. It's incredible. Rumsfeld had a news briefing from NATO headquarters in Brussels today. Had to get in his two cents worth here. Rummy doesn't spend much time in the States anymore for obvious reasons, so it's no surprise he was in Belgium when the happy, happy news about the fifth killing of the number two man in Al-Qaeda was released. This is the best news Rumsferatu has received this millennia, even better than the sacking of Constantinople. But what fortunate timing this was today, as more marine atrocities and murders are revealed this week. What good luck for Rummy, huh? Yet he was oddly, subdued when he discussed his marvelous good fortune with reporters in Brussels earlier today.
I think arguably over the last several years, no single person on this planet has had the blood of more innocent men, women, and children on his hands than Zarqawi. He personified the dark, sadistic, and medieval vision of the future of beheadings, suicide bombings, and indiscriminate killings.
Wow, that sounds like a page right out of your army manual, Rummy, huh? Zarqawi? No single person on this planet has had the blood of more innocent men, women, and children on his hands than Zarqawi? Oh, come on, Mr. Badass Secretary of Defense. Don't sell yourself short. You're still number one. You freak! You've killed a couple of hundred thousand. You're the number one bloodthirsty psycho killer. Come on, don't be shy, Rummy. You old murderous bastard, you. Hell waits for you, pal. Oh, my God. Wait till Rumsfeld dies and God waits for him and he's wearing some of that Arab headgear. Come in, Mr. Rumsfeld. So he has a little press conference. The reporter says to this murderous old blood drinker, he says, "Do you expect another leader, Mr. Rumsfeld, to take Zarqawi's place and to continue the same sorts of things that he was doing?" Now, Rumsfeld remains very creepily quiet here. Not a podium thump in the entire statement.
There'll always be someone who'll pop up, but this fellow was the mastermind behind that network, and he was involved in the financing of it. He was involved in activities outside of Iraq, and he had a number of people with him who were also killed, which is a good thing. And I suspect that it will slow them down. There are going to be people who are determined to kill innocent men, women, and children, and others will come along.
And he's not just talking about the U.S. military there either. But what is it? He had a number of people with him who also were killed, which is a good thing. The blood. I can still smell the blood. Maybe they were innocents. I'm getting hungry again. The blood. I can still smell the blood! There were a number of people with him who also were killed, which is a good thing. The only reports I've seen, of course, I've tried to stay away from this after I saw what the day was going to be like. But a couple of women there, a kid or something. Oh, well, you know, it's collateral damage. That's the way it goes. So that's the story. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. It doesn't mean anything. The only thing that the killing of this guy can mean is well, it does mean a few things. I'm sorry. Here's what it means. The psychological operation was just masterful. Masterful. In presenting this two-bit killer, Zarqawi. This is a guy, apparently, who just... I don't know. Maybe he's not a two-bit killer. Maybe he was determined to push the infidel out of his region. I don't know. But I'm going to take the American point of view. I'm just going to say he's a two-bit... He's a thug, a murderer, a killer. I hate terrorists. I don't care if they are squatting in the White House or the Pentagon or in some goddamn house in Iraq. I don't care. I hate them. They kill innocent people. They're sons of bitches. They should be cast into some hell if there was one. I hate the killing of innocent people, children and innocent men and women, old people, young people. So I don't know about Zarqawi. All I know is what was pumped into my head for the past 2 years. He's an evil, evil man. Oh, he was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And if he was Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Bush put him there. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Saddam and Al-Qaeda were blood enemies. I don't know. It's nobody knows anymore. We are living in a plastic environment where with shifting shapes and names that come and go and ghosts and spooks and phantoms and this one and that one and ooh, and they rise up out of the mist and they rise up out of the pools of blood and then they submerge under the corpses and here comes another air raid and there goes more screaming American soldiers and descending into hell and here comes another wave of Al-Qaeda, and look out, now they're in Canada, look out, they're going to be in Mexico, look out, they're under your bed. Jesus God, these people are making me insane. The Bush people. Aren't they you? Come on, be real, come on. I get emails from some of you people, and I can tell that you're right on the edge, on the knife's edge, just like I am. Who knows what's real anymore? The Bush crime family is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to warp your mind, to warp mine. Nobody knows what's true anymore. The media is totally sucked in or bought off or both. Phantoms come and phantoms go, and the death toll mounts, and the war will go on forever, and the blood will continue to slosh around our ankles. It just doesn't stop, does it? It doesn't stop. What's real? I defy you to tell me what's real. Tell me what's real. Nah, that's too aggressive. I beg you to tell me what's real. Will somebody tell me what's real? What's real? Huh? What's real? Get your money's worth. Will you do the show? It happened out of-
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
There was a warning about bin Laden's desires on America. Frankly, I didn't think there was anything new.
All right, let's do some phone calls. We had. I've just got a ton of stuff stacked up in here from last night when we had all the mechanical problems. And I swear to God, on the drive home last night at 11 o'clock, Kathy and I were just screaming into the night about all the stuff that she had put together. And I guess we're just going to hold off on it. The bunch of clips from about Coulter. I guess that doesn't matter anymore. Hell, that's ancient history now. It's 48 hours ago, 24 hours ago. God, what a rancid-smelling bitch. I swear to God. What? Never mind. I don't even want to go there. I can't. So let's get your take. Also, our guest last night, we had a guest, Mark Wilson. He's running for the Senate in Washington State against Maria Cantwell. And we've rebooked him for next Wednesday instead. And by the way, for our listeners in Seattle, I'll be there Saturday, flying in tomorrow night. Be there Saturday along with several Air Americans, including Rachel Maddow will be there, Laura Flanders, Tom Hartman, who's syndicated by this network. It's an interactive forum, Changing the Media, Changing America, and it's sponsored by Air America Seattle, the progressive talk AM 1090. The tickets were sold out long ago, but if you do have a ticket, I'll see you there. That's tomorrow, Saturday night, right? What time, Kathy? 8 o'clock? Starts 8 o'clock? Whenever it starts, I don't know. But it's going to be fun. It'll be good to see. We haven't seen Hartman in, what, 3 years? 4 years? Oh, my God. And, of course, Rachel was just here in Atlanta a couple of months ago. Laura, we've seen up in New York, and we go up there to check in with the home office to say to Air America executives, hey, we're still here down in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy. This is my dog, Tig. We live in a shoe. that's referring to Kathy. That's an old Buster Brown commercial. You young people wouldn't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Honey, nobody knows Busta Brown from Busta Rhymes anymore.
That's true, and probably shouldn't. Anyway, Saturday night in Seattle, we're looking forward to meeting the people at AM 1090 there and doing this thing at...
Well, not me. Molly and I will be home.
I know. Well, nobody has any money anymore. And besides, it's not that. They offered to fly all three of us out there, and I reminded them that we have a two-year-old. And to put a two-year-old on a plane for 5 hours, that makes no sense at all. Molly decides to go berserk, and you're going to have people leaving the plane.
All she would do is scream, Band-Aids! 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 For 4 hours? Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, I know. Anyway, yeah, she'd probably be busted by Homeland Security. You know, they call her a little terrorist. Most two-year-olds are terrorists. They really are. They don't mean to be, but they're all they all show what in an adult would be just absolute delusional schizophrenia. All two-year-olds. That's you got to love them because when they're in the good part of the schizophrenic mode, they're little angels from heaven. We're in the bad part, they're little demons from hell. We know that.
Plus, we'd never get her diaper bag past security. You know, we have everything. Baby powder, they'd be sniffing that out.
And her gun. We have her little gun.
And her mace. Yeah. And her fingernail clippers.
Right.
And all those little pills and things. You know, they'd be slicing up in her teddy bear looking for heroin.
But we digress. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Let's see. Let's start with David in Staten Island. David, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Been trying to reach you for a couple of weeks.
I know. It's been rough. I've been trying to reach me for a couple of weeks.
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a big shout-out to all of those folks in your audience who remember when virtual reality came in sugar cubes.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of people left to remember that or think they remember it.
Okay, now... the one thing I wanted to talk about tonight is everybody thinks there's going to be an election this year.
Yeah, I still think there is. You don't think so?
Well, why would Bush allow an election? I mean,
well, how's he going to stop it? He'll have to kill us.
Well, I mean, he's already realized that the folks should already realize that he really doesn't give a crap about the loss of a major American city.
Well, that's right? True.
And he knows that John Conyers and the other Democrats have like 50 investigations, like in the pipe, waiting for the Congress to be turned over to the
Democrats. Yeah, but what they're here's what I think they're counting on, David. They're counting on the fact that they controlled the software in the voting machines. Look what happened in San Diego, how the election was perverted and tilted towards the Republican, who I read was elected to fill the seat of the convicted felon Randy Duke Cunningham. Hey, hold on a second. We'll come back and talk to you, David.
Thanks.
We have a break here. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Cold. It's over. It ain't cold anymore. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, it's Sam Cedar with news about my new book, FUBAR, America's Right-Wing Nightmare, co-authored by Majority Report's Stephen Sherrill, which Vanity Fair said is biased and hilarious. Now, I've promised every time you buy a copy of FUBAR, a conservative poops his pants. Here's a Wall Street analyst.
We've seen a marked uptick in the adult diaper industry.
And here's an expert on cause and effect.
Well, it's possible that this has something to do with FUBAR, but I don't think...
Proof positive that when you purchase FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare, a conservative indeed poops his pants.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on complete insect killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon complete insect killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Must you sacrifice your values to be a successful investor? At Pax World, we don't think so. We offer you the opportunity to invest with your values. We also believe companies meeting higher social and environmental standards are better long-term investments. Pax World, socially responsible mutual fund since 1971. Available with a low $250 minimum investment.
You should consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. For this and other important information, please obtain a fund prospectus by calling 1-800-767-1729 or online at paxworld.com. Please read the prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Oreck vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Oreck vacuum, visit one of my Oreck stores, or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.
I don't know where he is. Nor do I, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Twenty-six before the hour. Let's go back to David. We just started talking to in Staten Island about the election. See, David, they own enough of the voting machine software, the neo-Nazis do, that there's no need to declare the election is not going to happen. That might cause 30 or 40 people in America to take to the streets and protest. So rather than have to round up 30 or 40 Americans and execute them for a treason or whatever, they just jigger the machines. That way it looks like it's all legal and proper, and that America continues to love an operation that takes us into war, destroys our economy, perverts our Constitution. So, no, I don't think the elections should be canceled. I just think they'll be stolen again.
Well, stolen is one thing. See, what I've been putting out on the blogs is, like, there is not going to be a free and fair election this November.
Well, that's probably correct, right.
Right, because Congress going over to the Democrats opens up a whole bunch of, at least 50 different investigations.
True.
Okay, so something has to happen, or, like, furry friend Grover Norquist says that we're going to pull Osama bin Laden out of a spider hole on Halloween. You know, that's also a possibility.
No, sure it is.
Now, one thing, look, I'm just a street musician, all right, and I have a song out there in the blog sphere. It's called Goper's Lament, G-O-P-E-R apostrophe S, Lament. All right, people can Google it. All right, my own contribution to this effort toward November is to have 100,000 downloads of this particular song by September 11th, because I'm a musician in the New York City subway, and I was scheduled to perform at the Cortlandt Street station directly beneath the towers on at like 1 o'clock the afternoon of 9/11.
Right.
All right. I lost a lot of friends that day, and I am mad as hell. All right. So, like, all I have is my music. All right. So, if folks out there would just check out Goper's Lament and download it, pass it on to your friends, and I'll be talking to you over the next few months. Okay, Mike?
Okay, it's G-O-P-E-R apostrophe S.
Yeah, Goper, like G-O-P, Gopers.
Yeah, G-O-P-E-R apostrophe S, Lament. Google it, and people can find it.
And, yeah, and they can get my whole podcast.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Thanks for checking in, David. Take care. Our listener who sent me the Reuters link, she sent me the story. Here it is. This is reported this morning. Reuters News Agency at 8:52 a.m. Here's what it says. The Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, was killed in a joint attack by U.S. helicopters and Iraqi forces, ABC News reported on Thursday. It said U.S. helicopters hit a house near Baquba, 40 miles north of Baghdad, at 6 p.m. local time on Wednesday. Zarqawi was apparently injured at first. This is a quote from ABC. Zarqawi was apparently injured at first. The Americans found him. They handed him over to the Iraqis, and he later died of his injuries, end quote. It said seven people were hit in the helicopter attack, including two women, but it was not clear how many were killed or wounded. Now, that's Reuters News Agency quoting ABC News, quoting local sources in Iraq. One assumes military. And what they're describing is an attack by U.S. helicopters and Iraqi troops. Now, that's not what we've seen. That's not what's all over the net, right? What's all over the internet is the video game released by the U.S. military today, showing 500-pound bombs smashing into this farmhouse, this hut, whatever the hell it was, I've heard it described as a farmhouse, a hideaway, a hideout, a safe house. It's just a joke. It's a miserable, murderous joke. The picture of Zarqawi's corpse that brings up another thing. This stinking, filthy regime that will not allow photographs or video of American military coming home in coffins, in flag-draped coffins, because I don't know what their rationale is, what their public rationale is, but it's not right, or it's not proper, or it violates something or someone or whatever. But let them come up with a corpse like this, and Christ Almighty, you can't get away from it. Did you see the Department of Defense briefing today? They had a framed picture of this guy's head. A framed picture of Zarqawi's dead face. Holy jumping Jesus, where do we live now? Did you see it? A framed picture. A nice wooden early American frame.
Well, which one of the psychos wanted Osama's head preserved in dry ice so they could...
Bush!
And Rumsfeld said today, what, it was a good thing that a lot of people around him were killed, and apparently two of them were women?
It doesn't matter to these vampire bastards. But here it is again, Reuters, Dateline Washington, June 8th, 8:52 a.m. The Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq was killed in a joint attack by U.S. helicopters and Iraqi forces. Zarqawi was apparently injured at first. The Americans found him. They handed him over to the Iraqis, and he later died of his injuries. Seven people were hit in the attack, helicopter attack, including two women. It's not clear how many were killed or wounded. Jesus, God. The total distortion of reality, or as Winston Smith had it explained to him by O'Brien, the truth is whatever the party says is the truth. Anything. 2 + 2 = 5. We have always been at war with East Asia. Goldstein is a traitor. Just on and on. Reality consists of whatever is structured by the party. That is reality. And the whole point of Orwell's book was using Winston Smith as the everyman who had to have at least the one who was conscious of what the party was doing. As they said, the proles don't matter. The proles are very easily motivated. You blow them up here, you blow them up there, you give them a few grams of chocolate and everything's cool. How true is that? But it's important that the inner party, the outer party, all the party members understand that reality is whatever the party says it is. And that's exactly what's going on here. Is it not clear? Of course it's clear. All right. Let's go back to your phone calls. Jay is calling from San Jose, California. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going fine.
All right. Hey, I hear you describe Rumsfeld as a monster. And you then went on to explain Zarqawi as a monster. But what I don't understand is how can Rumsfeld be a bigger monster than Zarqawi?
Because he's responsible for more unnecessary innocent death. That's the only yardstick I'm using. That's A. B, if we need a second yardstick, Rumsfeld engineered, was part of the gang that engineered an attack on a country that did nothing to the United States. Now, what do you think?
I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think that Zarqawi is a bigger monster, a crueler monster, and just more ruthless than Rumsfeld could ever dream to be.
Well, why do you believe that? Did Zarqawi attack the United States?
Him and his ilk did.
No. Let's not get. Don't now. Look, I know you're a right winger. I know you have a tendency. Any second here, you're going to get nuts on me. And I'm either going to hang up or it's going to end. But try not to do that. Try to have a rational discussion. I know that that's difficult for you people on the right. Zarqawi didn't exist until we created him. Iraq did nothing to us. We attacked that country, and we have now killed about 100,000 Iraqis. They have also killed 2,400 American soldiers. Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld are responsible for their deaths. So when you say that you think Zarqawi is a bigger monster, I mean, what's the point anyway? You know, a monster is a monster. Rummy wants to throw away the Geneva Convention and get right down on the level of people who don't mind blowing up innocent civilians on the street corners of Iraq. So I don't know where you want to go with the conversation, Jay, but I'm bored with it. See you around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Why do I like working at Verizon? This is a phenomenal place to work in more ways than one. With my team, I'm bringing in the next generation of high-speed internet so that people can work, play, and learn faster and better than ever. My husband and two sons are pretty excited about my job as well. Verizon works with me, so I can have time to do mom things, like watch soccer and host scout meetings. I'm a worker and a mom. I'm Mariana Aguayo, Network Operations Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
That's not what your daddy says. Ten before the hour, the I just mentioned it in the phone call before the moron called in. This race in San Diego to fill the unexpired term of the convicted felon and criminal Republican Randall Duke Cunningham. The Republican in that race, Brian Bilbray, who appears to have won. It was a very close race. And his opponent, what was her name, Kathy? What was it? Busby. It's my understanding she's conceded, and there are still 65,000 uncounted votes. And the margin of the Republican neo-Nazis' win was not that big. Do we have another Democrat conceding already? I can't quite understand this. Now I'm not in San Diego, so I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstood. But even if it turns out that Busby lost, the election was held on these filthy, stinking Ann Coulter machines, the Diebold machines, that have failed every single test as to whether or not they can legitimately record and legitimately report on the voting being conducted on them. So I don't know. If this woman who was running as a Democrat has already conceded and there's still 65,000 votes to be counted, and they are mostly absentee ballots or mail-in ballots, and she was advising the people who would vote for her, it's my understanding, to do it this way, to do it absentee or mail-in, to bypass these stinking Ann Coulter machines, these Diebold machines. And if that's the case, if I'm understanding this right, then why is she conceding? Who knows? Charlie is calling from Boston. Charlie, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, greetings from Beantown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, happy, happy, joy, joy. El Jefe finally got one, huh?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I had trouble calling him Mr. President.
Yeah.
Big trouble. Oh, you can tell Greg Paulus, I started listening to his book on audio. I can't see to read anymore, so I've been listening to Armed Madhouse the other night.
Yeah, I've read a couple of a couple of chapters so far, and
Mike,
it's excellent.
I'm scared.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm scared. You know, I never used to be afraid of my government, but I'm downright terrified now because I keep hearing what the religious conservatives have planned for this country as a theocracy and how they plan to go global once they're established here. I'm scared.
Well, it's the same thing you hear from the Islamo-fascists, you hear from the Christo-fascists. It's unbelievable.
Really, I'm really, but you know what the thing is the Christian fascists in this country have more popular support.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
And they have a little thing, the Islamo-fascists don't have money.
And nuclear weapons.
And also the fact that they have the support of the government. And quite frankly, a president who stole the government to begin with and has no business being in there.
Yeah.
I absolutely detest this government. I have no use for it. You know, I really, really, really don't. I mean, I gave the three best years of my life in Vietnam to fight for this country and so that you and I could have can be guaranteed certain rights, and they want to take those rights away from us.
Well,
I'm
you
scared.
Understand now that that's
oh,
not
I
the
am.
Reason that you fought in Vietnam.
That's not the reason why I fought in Vietnam,
right.
So that they could take our rights away from us. Just because I'm blind and over 50 doesn't mean I don't know what's going on around me.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried. And by the way, you can tell your other half I still remember Buster Brown.
That's my dog, you know, Tig. He lives in a shoe. I'm Buster Brown.
I
look for me in
Buster
there too.
Brown.
Yeah.
Okay, well listen, hey, Big Bean Town greetings to the other half and a big Bean Town hug for the baby when you
Thanks, Charlie. Take care. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking the call, Mike. Great
show. Thanks for holding on.
And the thing with Zarkali, I think the whole thing's a hoax. Like you've said a few times tonight, he never really existed until we invaded. I don't think anybody even heard his name until we invaded. There's books on him. There's articles on him. A number of times, even in the mainstream press, he's been reported to have been killed a number of times, going back to 04 and 05.
Oh, he was even reported by the Iraqi, one of the interim Iraqi governments as having been killed. This is an invention. They decided to let Osama go. They had a chance, Bush did, to get him. They decided, Saddam is on trial, for Christ's sake, so they've got to have a monster there. So they come up with, I'm not saying Zarqawi is the kind of guy you'd, like to have living next door to you, although I don't know. Who knows?
I think like Osama Zarqawi is CIA, and I don't know that picture today. It's impossible to have a 500-pound bomb drop on a house you're in and be
two of them.
If you're dead.
Yeah. Two of them, Ira.
One more point, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, quick.
One more point, quick. You could see another fake attack, another fake 9/11, like we had 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago. And then they'll blame it on the people who, again, it's a fake, because they'll say they're trying to avenge Zarqawi's death and use that as a pretext to go into Iran.
Oh, God, I hope you're not right. I hope you're not right with that one. Thanks, Ira. Thanks. I appreciate that hideous thought. I'll think about it over the break here. We'll be back for the final hour. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis. We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The most notorious terrorist in Iraq is dead. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was killed Wednesday after U.S.-led forces dropped a pair of 500-pound bombs on a house in a village north of Baghdad. Zarqawi was believed to have been behind numerous bombings, beheadings, and assassinations in Iraq and Jordan. Zarqawi's spiritual advisor, Sheikh Abdul Rahman, was also killed in the blast that turned the building into rubble. Professor Mehran Kamrava of Cal State Northridge says Zarqawi's extremism had made him unpopular with al-Qaeda's top brass.
Zarqawi's excesses had alienated not only his organization and his own personality, but also his cause. This violent and random bombing of Shiite mosques particularly was something that the senior leadership of al-Qaeda seemed to be frowning on.
He adds that Zarqawi will be missed by his own followers, but not by the rest of the organization. Indicted Texas Republican Congressman Tom DeLay offered a farewell speech to his colleagues Thursday. DeLay defended his conservative partisanship as instrumental in lowering taxes, reforming welfare, and spreading democracy through the ongoing war on terror.
Hundreds of millions of people around the world liberated by a conservative foreign policy's victory over Soviet communism, and more than 50 million Iraqis and Afghanis liberated from tyranny since September the 11th, 2001.
He claimed that conservative policies have resulted in the liberation of Afghanistan and Iraq. A clergy-led pilgrimage was held Thursday to highlight alleged abuses of employees at some hotels near Los Angeles International Airport.
Hotel workers say they've been fighting for good wages and benefits for some time now, but the Westin and Hilton hotels have responded with intimidation, harassment to the workers' efforts. Dr. David Wheeler.
That was dramatic 3 weeks ago when a whole raft of workers were suspended at one blow by the LAX Hilton, and that was troublesome for us because these workers, while eventually reinstated, are still owed several days' back pay.
City officials say the substandard hotel treatment contributes to poverty in the nearby neighborhoods. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
The Food and Drug Administration has given us okay to a new vaccine to prevent a sexually transmitted infection that causes cervical cancer. Drug maker Merck has announced it has won approval from the FDA for its vaccine called Gardasil. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. A couple of folks have clarified that 65,000 votes still uncounted in the San Diego area. That was for all of San Diego County. Bill Bray who was running against him again? Busby. They were in the 50th California district. Also, it says here that the ballots in question were provisionals only, and this vote was for the remainder of Cunningham's term, which will give Bill Bray running as an incumbent against Busby again in November, which she said she will do. He only has Cunningham only had a few months left before he was convicted and sent to prison. So my mistake on the 65,000. It's 7 past the hour. Let's go back to your phone call. As a matter of fact, Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program. Do I have it right yet on Busby and Bill Bray?
Pretty much. One of the things with Busby that turned a lot of people off on the Saturday before the election, she came out and said she was against gay marriage, so she alienated a lot of people with that. The point spread there was, I think it was 45 to 49.
Did she say why she was against gay marriage? Was she against it because she thought it would help her win the race, or was she against it because she's opposed on some level to people of the same gender?
She really didn't clarify that. I think she was trying to play to the swing voters, undecided Republican voters in that 50th district. It's a very heavily Republican district. But she alienated herself from her side of it. So.
I really have a problem with pandering. I've always believed that Democrats should be Democrats. If they don't win the race, then let the people suffer through more Republican terror. But if Busby was pandering, if she really doesn't give a damn one way or another about a gay marriage, and she said she was against it, then she deserves to lose, and I hope she never runs again, and she can go back to doing whatever she was doing before she thought she could get this 50th congressional seat. I hate that kind of hypocrisy is my point.
Oh, I do, too. Fake Democrats, absolutely. On the Zaghari thing, two 500-pound bombs, I imagine the report said, the houses were reduced into rubble. How did they pull him out of there, first of all? I worked in nursing for a number of years, and in ER nursing, and I've seen people come in with, flash fires from house fires, mm-hmm. and they're pretty burnt. And this picture doesn't look like somebody that was just hit by a 500-pound bomb. One of the clues this morning for me that this was propaganda was, at first the ABC report was saying that they were not sure it was actually him, but later on General Peter Pace came in and said definitely it was him. And then Bush made his announcement.
Yeah, and today I heard a couple of newscasts where they kept referring to fingerprints and face identification, and now they're going to do his DNA. What? I'm not quite sure how all that works. They had fingerprints on this guy? How did they get his fingerprints? Who has his fingerprints? The government of Jordan?
I don't know who has the fingerprints, but how did they get him out of there? And as soon as I saw all the coverage, all the media blitz on this story, I knew it was propaganda. But yet today I get an email from somebody saying to me, you're not happy? You don't think it's a good thing that they killed him? What I think would be a good thing is if we got rid of Bush, okay, and some of the nations in the world that want to say, okay, yeah, this guy was bad, good, we got rid of him, Al-Qaeda, terror. When are they going to start talking about this administration? The dumb bastard that called before the top of the hour break, trying to say that Zarqawi is more of a murderer and a terrorist than Rumsfeld is out of his mind. Get your head out your ass. It's crazy. Now, the U.S. House of Representatives today is going to pump another $50 billion into the war in Iraq. That's going to last, 6 months? It's a total of, $450 billion more we're paying for this? Yeah, well, when are we going to stop this crap? And when are we going to stop buying this? I think the forum you're going to in Seattle is important. It starts with our media and waking up,
Yeah, Yeah, it does. Well, I certainly understand your anger, Philip.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we've been beating our heads against the wall for, I've been doing it here in San Diego. You're doing it constantly on the air there. You've read 1984, which is a parallel of what we're seeing. We've talked about fascism taking over in America, and still dumbed down people still want to buy the news reports that, yeah, okay, we killed the terrorist. And what they're doing now is they're tying in Al-Qaeda with the insurgents and the civil war that's going on there. And people are going to buy it again.
I know. I hear you. Philip, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call, all right? You take care. We'll talk again. Dan is calling from Santa Fe. Dan, welcome to the program. Hey, Dan. Oops. Dan. He calls back in. Let me know. We'll put him right on. Bob is calling from San Francisco. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob.
First of all, I just want to tell you, you know, I listen to you all the time. I listen to Air America.
Thank you.
And I'm blown away by your ability to stay unrelentingly, your belly on fire about all these things.
Oh man, how can you not? I need to go back to telemarketing though. I swear to God I do. It's a lot easier on your nervous system.
Well, I feel like, you know, for me, I'm a gay man and I feel so betrayed by Democrats. You know, the guy that was just talking about Busby saying that she came out against gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the debate on the floor. I listened to Bush's speech about gay marriage. And I don't understand why the Democrats aren't standing up and screaming about the fact that this is a case of civil rights. It's civil rights.
I think it's partly because the current crop of Democratic leaders in this country are cowardly, they're spineless, they have never stood up. In the 5 years Bush has illegally run this country into the ground, they keep accepting his appointments, confirming these neo-Nazis. I don't care if it's in his cabinet or the federal bench. There's a website, I don't know if you're familiar with it, BartCop.com, and Bart has made the point over and over. He calls them pink tutu Democrats. They just have no spine, no courage, no determination to keep the Democratic Party what the Democratic Party should be, and as a result, we have Democrats who are terrified to stand up and say what you just suggested. That there's no such thing. There's no such. Yeah, there's to me, and this is what I believe. There's no such thing as gay rights. It's human rights. How in the hell do we decide legal rights based on somebody's sexuality or orientation? When did that come up? Where's that written down? When did we get to the point? I'll tell you when. When these self-righteous sons of bitches from the so-called Christian right interjected their bile and their venom into our political process. That's when it started. I have no use for these Democrats. And like I said, if Busby is a Democrat who made that statement as a way of pandering, then to hell with her. Let her go back to doing whatever she was doing before she decided to do this and make way for a real Democrat someday. Right. Certainly not in November.
I feel like I'm losing hope. I feel like I don't know what to put my faith in anymore, because if there's not going to be somebody standing up for people's rights. I listened to Bush, you know, in his speech he talked about the American people overwhelmingly, you know, the American people, what they want in terms of gay marriage or against gay marriage. It's like, when the hell why doesn't somebody stand up and talk about the fact that our founding fathers designed our government with the tyranny of the majority in mind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, our entire government was set up to prevent the tyranny of the majority. And since when were civil rights ever a question of being put up to the majority? For Christ's sake, we still have slavery.
I know. I hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm ranting.
No, that's all right, Bob. I hear the frustration. I've got a break here. Keep your chin up. That's what we all have to do. Eventually, we'll have real Democrats. And eventually, we'll either get the country back or we're going to have to take it back by force, one way or the other. Thanks for checking in, Bob. I appreciate it. We'll be right back after the break. This is Air America.
listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio.
The axles and the hammers, they're smashing on the beds. They're
listen, I almost forgot the people listening in the Atlanta area who are still listening. I forgot to say this earlier. This is our last night on Atlanta radio, WWAA, Air Atlanta. The station was bought by some new folks, and they decided not to continue to carry the programming from Air America Radio. I heard that they're going to carry Al Franken, but everything else is off the table. Randy, me, Sam, Rachel. So, you know, I don't know, and at this point I don't care what the reason for it is. It pisses me off on a number of levels. First of all, simply because the city of Atlanta or the Atlanta metro area is saturated with right wing talk radio. You can't, everybody from Savage to this thug Neil Bortz to this little pissy Sean Hannity, who, by the way, did you know he's having an affair with Ann Coulter? Are you aware that the two of them, that's going to be the next big scandal where it concerns another phony-ass conservative who leaves his wife and three kids and runs off with a hoe. It's going to be Hannity and Coulter. Mark my words on that one. You know, here we are in Atlanta with Air America, on a station where we've been for, what, Kathy, a year? Has it been an entire year? A little bit longer than that? And this is a town that I've done radio in for the past 20 years with the exception, you know, off and on, because you don't work steadily when you work in talk radio. Unless you're a right-wing a neo-Nazi, then corporate America will keep you around. The number of listeners, the ratings here in Atlanta has been sufficient to keep this programming on Air Atlanta. But like I said, the new owners or owner, I don't even know who it is, have decided or has decided now time to pull the plug on Air America. So this continues to happen, and I don't know what to tell you. If you're an Air America fan here in Atlanta, go to XM, go to the internet, you know, whatever you have to do. But you'll notice this happens with alarming regularity. Of course, you know, the geeks here in Atlanta, the right-wing morons will say, oh, well, the market has decided and the market doesn't like liberal talk, which is nonsense. But I no longer take the time or make the effort to explain to these knuckle-dragging freaks how liberal talk is systematically shut out of city after city after city. So anyway, to the folks who here in Atlanta who have been listening to Air America, this program or not, but who have listened to Air America on Air Atlanta, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. We'll see you somewhere down the road, I guess. Email here from Mary. Hi, Mike. I don't even know if I believe he's actually dead, if he actually exists. This administration has lied to us so often. They have cried wolf one too many times for me. When we look at how bad off Bush is right now politically, how even Bush's father tried to find a replacement for Rumsfeld because of his misdeeds, they need a capture or a death really bad if the Bush crime family is going to continue and keep some of their followers. We went into Iraq on false pretenses. The preemptive strike in Iraq was deemed illegal by all national standards. But Bush says we went there not to invade and fight them, but to bring them freedom. Ha. Now today all we hear talk about is the war in Iraq. Every day we hear more and more people, Iraqis and Americans, being killed in this war. When did we start being at war with Iraq? When our soldiers kill women and children, no one would have to figure out we're at war with these people. When did we cross the line? When did bringing freedom turn into being a war? Am I making any sense? It is so convoluted that sometimes I think up is down and down is up when talking about all that these evil people in power are doing. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Mary, loud and clear. Back to your phone calls. Let's see. Who do we have here? Aha. Dan, who is calling from somewhere out there in New Mexico?
Yes.
All right, Dan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. This ties back to when you were talking about Nick Berg and the beheading.
Yes.
And now I'm quoting from something that was posted on the 25th of May, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
The following is from a Yahoo message board. Word is spreading around Kodak Park here in Rochester, New York, and will break on national news tonight.
Hey, can you hold on? Can you hold on? I took you with too close to a break. Hold on,
okay.
Dan. I'll come right back after this break, and we'll pick it up there, okay? This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon. We never stop working for you.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis. We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer. Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Used as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you purchase my new 8-pound Orrick XL upright vacuum, you also get a great gift. For everything above the floor, I'll give you my Oreck Super Compact Canister. It's so powerful it'll pick up a bowling ball. Try them free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. After all, why settle for one vacuum? With Oreck, you can get two. 1-800-989-4200.
Yeah.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
I'm 26 before the hour. Ann sends an email that says there are the 68,000 uncounted votes are for the entire area of San Diego. There are four congressional districts. Conceding an election has no effect if the winner changes when the votes are finally counted. Conceding the election, the vote is a formality. It's not nailed into stone. Okay, so there may be a change there. And then I got this from Rita in Encinitas, California. Hi, Michael, love your show. I live a couple miles from Francine Busby and did some volunteering for her campaign. I heard her speak twice and followed her campaign very closely. This is the very first I ever heard that she came out against gay marriage. She's a practicing Catholic, but I never heard her say anything about gay marriage for or against. What supposedly happened, and I'm hearing all this secondhand, she supposedly was speaking to some Latinos and was secretly being recorded by a Minuteman in the audience, and she supposedly said that it was okay for illegals to vote. All right, let me get out of Rita's email for a second here, because I got another email from someone who said that at this meeting that Rita's talking about, what Ms. Busby said was, illegal aliens were welcome to work on her campaign. So I'm not sure what the case was. But anyway, back to Rita's email. Previously, the Republicans were running a nonstop television ad saying that Francine supported child pornography. Oh, for Christ's sake. Can you believe this, Kathy? These filthy, filthy right-wingers. She was, back to Rita's email, she was fighting the good fight against cunning scam. Is that what you all called him out there? Cunning scam for some years, and is a very good woman or person. She was on the local school board, taught women's studies at Cal State San Marcos, and raised her two children with her husband, who I think is an engineer. She has a BA in Italian. She has been described as a suburban soccer mom type. She, in no way, shape, or form, was prepared for the dirty fight that was waged against her. The Republicans brought in Dick Cheney and Dennis Hastert and spent $5 million in their campaign against her. Where was the National Democratic Party during all this? Missing in action. Please don't knock Francine until you know all the facts, Rita. All right, it's certainly not my intention to knock somebody, Rita, a Democrat, and I probably jumped too quick there about her making an anti-gay statement again. And I tried to qualify it a bit by saying I'm not there, so I don't know. But this is, you know, this is what I'm hearing. But anyway, I appreciate you writing in, Rita, and. You know, there's another round of this coming up in November, and if Francine Busby decides to run again against this Republican thug, maybe this time she'll win. If the votes are counted properly, so I don't know. The Republicans will do this to anyone that appears is going to win a previous Republican seat. The Republicans will pull all the stops. To say that this woman is in favor of child pornography, I know nothing about Ms. Busby, but I can guarantee you that she's not in favor of child pornography. Oh, these sick bastards. God, I hate them. I just hate them I've said this so many times before, a depth of contempt and disgust that almost reaches the level of contempt and disgust that I have for the foul-smelling Ann Coulter. Not quite, but it almost reaches that depth.
Well, before you go back to Dan, I just wanted to add to that. The reason that they can get away with the porn bit angle is because they can come out and say that she is against the Internet data mining.
Yeah.
Which they're alleging. See, that's how they can brand the liberal.
Oh, well,
they're for child pornography.
I know, these sons of bitches.
We don't want to give up our Internet records, so that means we're all child pornographers.
Right. All right, back to Dan in Santa Fe. Dan, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on and on there, but I wanted to get that cleared up. Now, where were we?
So this
Nick
was,
Berg.
This was May 25th, 2004, relating to Nick Berg. The following is from a Yahoo message board. Word is spreading around Kodak Park here in Rochester, New York, and will break on national news tonight that Kodak film experts have analyzed the Nick Berg video and some of the Abu Ghraib prison videos, comparing them for certain encrypted recording signatures. Each video camera leaves a certain signature mark, much like a fingerprint or striation markings on bullets in gun barrels. Experts here after lunch have concluded that one of the two video cameras used in the Nick Berg beheading was also used to film U.S. troop abuses of Iraqi detainees.
No, no.
Now, let me give you a concluding statement. If this is true, then it means that Americans killed Berg at Abu Ghraib prison.
That's astounding. I haven't heard anything as precise as what you just said up until you just said it. But I had...
Needless to say, it did not break on national news.
Of course not. That sort of thing never does. But I had heard that the beheading of Nicholas Berg was not necessarily what we thought it was.
He was probably already dead before they took the video.
Either that, or it was a U.S. PSYOPs event. I don't know anymore. Like I say, I just don't know. I just don't know. We definitely have people working in the United States government who are fully capable. Dick Armitage was one during Vietnam, who are fully capable of standing there and chopping someone's head off. Americans who are capable of doing that and doing it without... feeling any sense of immorality or regret or anything. It's, you know, because they look at the bigger picture. They are so brainwashed, they say, well, the bigger picture is victory or whatever. Mm-hmm. But remember, in Apocalypse Now, there was a scene, and we all know Apocalypse Now was taken directly from Heart of Darkness, Conrad's novel, about Africa. And there was that scene where the Marlon Brando character, Colonel Kurtz, is describing what happened. And let me just say this. He's describing what happened one day when they were still working on winning hearts and minds of the Vietnamese. And a team of Americans went into a village in the Central Highlands, and they vaccinated all the children against measles or whatever childhood disease.
I remember that.
Yeah, and they came back the next day.
The army cut off the arms.
Yeah, the VC had come in and cut off every single arm that had been vaccinated. And Colonel Kurtz's character said I forget his exact words, but it was astonishing, beautiful in its simplicity, that you can't, there's no way you can fight against something like that. The point I'm trying to make is simply that if people are able to do that to their own, then it does not stretch the imagination at all to think of Americans underneath those hoods, not necessarily American soldiers, but American private contractors like these Blackwater killers, mm-hmm. who for a certain price will execute someone by chopping their head off and then put the video together and say, well, these are Iraqi terrorists. What you just said, that the signature marks on this videotape indicates that something is not quite right. That's astounding. I haven't heard that one before.
I saw the comments come out on the day on the May 25th, and then the only way that they are retained is that some people preserve them in their own documentation because they were purged from the internet almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. We live in a strange, strange place.
I mean, if that story became public and verified, that would
be
the end of
It's impossible to think what the reaction would be. I'm sure the reaction would be immediately every single right-wing pissant on talk radio, and they are legion, would get on the air and start saying, no, that's nonsense is nonsense, in order to stifle what would be a natural reaction from the American people, like, oh, my God.
But I mean, the problem is you can say somebody's lying, but nerds don't tell too many lies. Computer nerds,
that's true.
They look up from their workbench, pretty much tell you the truth.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. If you hear any more about that, Dan, for God's sake, please call us or send me a link or something. If you get any follow up on that, okay?
Okay.
And I realize it was a long time ago, but if there's any follow up, let us know.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. God, is that freaky? Uh Now, the right-wing response would be, well, you know, it's a war zone. The camera got stolen. Our Dearborn, Michigan correspondent, bureau chief, Clint, is checking in. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Going crazy like you are over all this stuff.
Oh, God.
It's been a while since I've had a chance to call in, so I knew I had to do it, but or wanted to do it. But, you know, all these stories, you know, it kind of... I just finished reading about some historic thing about Vlad the Impaler, and that's what these people remind me of.
Yes.
Hey,
can I get you to hold on a second, Clint?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, we got to do a break here, so let me get you put you on hold. We'll come right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
You freaking liar! You lied to us, you freaking liar! Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire, and you lie, you freaking liar, you freaking liar.
The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
You lied to us, you prick.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Two years ago, I had a heart attack right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Hammer time.
It's 10 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, and Andrew Dunn for engineering the program tonight. Dee Neal, our associate producer, answered your calls. Peter, Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Tomorrow night, Peter Werby will host the program. I'll be on my way to Seattle. And all you Atlanta listeners, welcome to the internets. Either that or XM Radio. Join Peter tonight, tomorrow, okay? Peter Werby, my good friend from Detroit, will be sitting in, so tune in. A couple of quick emails here from Philip in San Diego. He says, for the perpetually confused, Busby was on the local NBC station Saturday morning with Bill Bray, and she said that she opposed gay marriage. Excuse me, when the host asked both candidates if they were for or against it, whether she stated it in the evening debate, I cannot say. All right. That sounds like a question that would have been asked of, a candidate. And to hell with the TV bubblehead who asked the question. What a nonsensical question. And Bob sent this in. Mike, by way of follow-up to your caller regarding the Berg beheading, it's even less complicated than the video signature. The set pieces in the photographs of both the beheading and the Abu Ghraib abuses include plastic chairs that you and I can purchase at Walmart if we were evil enough to shop there, and that it would be highly unlikely for so-called terrorists to be able to purchase or obtain in any other way. That's from Bob. I can't allow myself to think that. I hear what you all are saying about Nicholas Berg situation. And what his father, Michael Berg, is quoted as saying today about Zarqawi, if that was Zarqawi, who beheaded his son, Michael Berg's son, that whoever did the beheading would have felt Nicholas's breath on his hand as he, oh, Jesus, I can't even, for some reason, when I read that, I just instantly thought about my two-year-old daughter, Molly. Ugh. I hate what has happened here. Don't you? I can't believe that we're talking about this kind of stuff. I can remember, what was it, Kathy, 6-7 years ago, right before we left Chicago to come back to Atlanta, the big story was the impeachment of Bill Clinton for receiving some alleged oral sex from Monica. And the incredible discussions that were going on, the hypocrisy of people like Bob Barr and Newt Gingrich and Henry Hyde and just on and on. All these adulterous, lying sons of bitches from the Republican Party who were mounting this attack against Clinton. And Clinton did nothing except He wasn't a neo-Nazi. He was the best Republican this country has ever had in the Oval Office. But he wasn't a neo-Nazi, and the neo-Nazis, the Christian fundamentalists, the psychopaths, were very pissed off that Bill Clinton had made them all money, made them all wealthy with his policies, balanced the budget, put the country into the black. They hated that. And Clinton had even engaged in what I consider to be an illegal war, and not a single American soldier was killed. They hated that. So they went after him on the Monica thing. That's what we were talking about 7 years ago. Here we are with torture and rendition and murder and mayhem and an unprovoked illegal war, if there's such a thing as a legal war. And this vicious group of nutcases that are in the White House and the cabinet and on the Supreme Court, it's astonishing. astonishing what has happened. Kathy and I had, the other night when we went home, because of technical difficulties here, we had another one of those, Jesus Christ, we've got to get out of this country for our daughter's sake discussions. And I hate that, because I have grown kids and grandkids here. I don't want to leave. Kathy's mom lives here. You know, we don't want to. But, you know, have you thought about this? I don't know what to do anymore. I really don't. I don't have any answers. Nothing. I've never had any answers to begin with. But it's just, it's obscene. I feel like I'm living in an obscenity. You know, my own country, I feel like, has become this obscene parody of a law-abiding society. I don't know. I can't stand it. Back to Clint. Clint, I'm sorry. I went nuts on you there. I've only got about a minute left. Go ahead.
Oh, that's no problem. Yeah, I was just agreeing on this end of the phone with you with what you're saying, because, you know, every time I'm out and I drive near the Canadian border, I think about, boy, should I just grab everything and you know, make that 10-mile drive over the border, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But, with these people, you know, what really gets my goat, and I know it gets your goat, too, and I've talked with John Conyers, who's my congressman, about this. Why don't the Democrats stand up to these people, you know? I mean,
I don't know. God, I don't know.
You know, they keep asking me for money, and I've told people here, Democrats here in Michigan, I said, if you're not going to stand up and start demanding for Bush's impeachment and 9/11 truth, then why should I give you any money?
Yeah, I hear you.
If you're not working for me or any other Democrat.
Clint, good to hear from you. Thanks for your contributions to this program that most people don't even know you do. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, okay?
Okay, you take care, and Kathy, too.
All right, we'll talk to you again. I'll see you all Monday. Peter Werby will be filling in tomorrow night. Enjoy, Peter. Participate in the program. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Watch your back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio, and I want to encourage you to help take back America's future on June 12th. Join me from June 12th to June 14th when the Campaign for America's Future, in partnership with Air America Radio, hosts the 2006 Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many others to discuss the ideas, hone the message, train the organizers, and help build the infrastructure we need to ensure that the voice of the progressive majority is heard. I'll be there. Register online today for the Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Log on to airamericaradio.com or visit www.ourfuture.org to sign up for this important conference. Please join me and register today so we can make a difference and help take back America's future.